Well, it is truly an honor to be here with you today, and I don't take it lightly. And you know, I heard that you guys have been in a series entitled Talking to Jesus. And you know, that's so impactful, that's so powerful, because there is no greater release of power in the life of a Christian than when we pray. Listen, I want you to consider this, that when you pray, the truth is, we're aware of what we're saying, right? We're formulating words, right? We're laying before God requests, right? We're conveying a message to God. But let me ask you this. What do you see when you pray? What do you see? Do you actually see something when you pray? Now, I know for some of us, we're saying to ourselves right now, man, I don't know that I'm supposed to see anything. I didn't know that, right? Some of us are saying, well, I'm praying about what I'm hoping to see, right? And then for some of us, we're just outright saying, I can't see anything because my eyes are closed, right? But I want you to consider a shocking truth. There are many and varied postures for prayer taught and modeled in prayer. But here's what you don't see in the scripture. And we don't have an example or a model for closing our eyes. Now, let me tell you why I'm sharing that with you. See, what we do find in the biblical text are examples of people praying with their eyes wide open. When Abraham's servant, for example, went to Abraham's hometown seeking a wife for Isaac, the scripture tells us that we find him standing by a spring. And he's praying for God to make his journey successful. And as this guy's praying, the scripture tells us that as he prayed, he saw Rebecca. His eyes were open. He saw Rebecca come out with a water jar on her shoulder. And the passage is clear that he was praying with his eyes open. And during that prayer, he saw the patriarch's, Isaac's wife. Now, in John 17, we have what's commonly referred to as the high priestly prayer. It's the final moments of Jesus in Gethsemane. And while he's there, he prays. And the scripture says that after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. Our own Savior, the Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was praying with his eyes wide open when he lifted up his longest prayer as recorded in all the Gospels. What's my point with that? This teaches us a valuable lesson that we should pray with eyes wide open. Now, I want you to push past what you're hearing because I'm not talking about our physical eyes. Today, I want to talk to you directly from the heart of God on the topic eyes that see. Eyes that see. The Bible says that the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous, that it accomplishes much. And I know that many of us can relate to this. Whether you're here or you're online, many of us can relate to the fact where the scripture tells us that when we pray, we should pray fervently. Anybody in the house praying fervently about something? I mean, you're going before the throne of God. You're knocking on heaven's door. You're praying fervently. Many of us can relate to that. But can you relate to the aspect that the scripture reveals that your prayers are also effective? That they're effective. I know for some of us, we may struggle. We may go, well, I don't know that my prayers are effective. I mean, after all, I'm not seeing results. Some of you might be saying, how come I'm not seeing that at work in my life? I want you to consider that the scripture says, not Pastor Jose, because I'm no one, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just like you. I don't bring you an opinion. I bring you today the word of God. And today I believe that we are about to have an encounter with God himself as we open our hearts to his word. Amen? And so I submit to you that if you've been struggling and wrestling and saying, how come I'm not seeing this effectiveness in my prayers in my life? I submit to you that it might be because you can't see some things. There's a sight issue. It's an issue with what you see. So the scripture gives us a great example of this. There was a day when Jesus was passing through a town, a city known as Bethsaida. And this place, Bethsaida, was a place of great unbelief. So much so that the scripture records that there came a day where Jesus said, "Woe to you, Bethsaida." Let me translate that into today's terms. Well, my terms. You guys are jacked up. You have dropped the ball. You're in for a heap of trouble, Bethsaida. He says, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. There would have been a mighty move of God. See, this place was a place of great unbelief. And while he's passing through Bethsaida, the scripture records that a group of men bring a man who's blind. And they bring him to Jesus that he might heal his eyes. What we're seeing here is a prayer request in action. And so they bring him to Jesus, and I want us to consider from the Word of God what we can learn about praying with eyes wide open, with eyes that see. Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 23, says that he took the blind man by the hand and he led him outside of the village. And when he had spit on the man's eyes, we got to pause right there for a moment. Because we like loving Jesus, right? We like kind Jesus. We like good Jesus. We like blessing Jesus. Jesus said, spit in his eye, threw a wad in his eye. Jesus did that. Not my opinion. The Word of God says that. We're going to see why in a second. He spit in this man's eyes and he put his hands on him and Jesus asked, do you see anything? And he looked up and he said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. And once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. And then his eyes were open and his sight, get this, his sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly. Clearly. And Jesus sent him home saying, don't even go into the village. Don't go there. Don't go back there. This man was brought to Jesus with a request. A request for Jesus to intervene in his dilemma. This man was blind, and the prayer request was, Jesus, would you restore his sight? And yet what we find is that Jesus required sight from this man in order for him to receive his sight. It's weird. It sounds contradictory. Why would Jesus ask this guy to see when he's coming with a request for his sight to be restored? He's asking him to see before his eyes are restored. And that tells us something. Jesus wanted him to see something in his request so that he might then therefore receive the mighty work that Jesus wanted to release into his life. And my friend, I would simply say this to you, that the same is true for you and I. That Jesus wants you and I to see something when we pray that we might receive and realize and see it come to life, the mighty work of God that he wants to do in our lives. Amen. Come on, we can give God some praise for that. Isn't God good? And so the scripture puts it this way. It says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. See, just because you can see doesn't mean you have sight. He says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11 records it this way. Faith is the substance. Oh, it's the meat and potatoes. It's what puts it all together. It's what brings it to life. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it is the evidence of things not seen. I want you to consider that faith does not work by means of our physical sight. Oh, no, my friend. Our faith functions by spiritual sight. It's the key ingredient that gives us the substance, that brings to material essence what we have faith for. And so, today I want to point you to just a few portions of scripture. Actually, I just want to give you three points for reflection and application. Just three. But I'm inviting you to connect with God. Look past me. Open your spiritual eyes. I'm just a messenger delivering a message from the King. And the goal today is that we would connect with God Almighty. Listen, the first point that I want to give you today is that you must open your spiritual eyes. I'm going to tell three people. You must open your spiritual eyes. Come on. Three people you didn't come with. How about that? going to tell somebody. Come on, come on, come on. Listen, you got to open your spiritual eyes, right? We got to open our eyes. Now, listen, I don't want you to go based upon what I've said. I need to give you, we need to consider that this is a scriptural command. That this is godly, that this comes directly from the heart of God. And so we're going to look to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, and we're going to read it from the Amplified Version because guess what? It really does a great job at amplifying it. Right? So in verse 18, it says, "And I pray," this is the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, "to convey this blessing, this prayer, this desire that's born in the heart of God." He says, "And I pray that the eyes of your heart," that those eyes, that the very center and core of your being, that it may be enlightened, that it may be flooded with light by the Holy Spirit, so that you will know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which he has called you, that you would know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, God's people. I want you to consider that the Apostle Paul would not pray this if it was not God's will for us to see with the eyes that he's speaking about. In other words, there's something that God wants you and I to see, which leads me to an important point for reflection that we should all consider. It's this: we have spiritual eyes. My friend, you have spiritual eyes. You have the ability to see beyond circumstances, to look beyond problems. Your problem is not a problem. Your problem is sight. If you are moved by the momentary, temporary circumstances of life, the troubles of life, my friend, I got great news for you. Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. But watch what's on the other side of that trouble. But rejoice. I have overcome. I'm here. I'm working. Come on, give God some praise. And we have spiritual eyes, but these eyes, they must be open to know, the scripture says, to cherish the hope that we have for life, to discover our calling and to partake and reap the benefits of this inheritance that has been given to us in the saints. The Bible says that there is something greater than what we see with our physical eyes. I want to give you a glimpse of what lies behind your eyes. We didn't push the scripture up, but it's just one that I've been meditating on. And it comes directly out of Hebrews chapter 4. You can look it up on your own time. Verse 16, I believe it is. It says this, that we can come boldly before God's throne of grace, where we find mercy and grace in our time of need. Get this, when you and I pray, we're not at home. You're not at work. You're not in the middle of a crisis. You are before the throne of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God Almighty. You have entered into the most holy of places, and you are speaking to God himself. And here's what the scripture guarantees, that in that place, when you look beyond these eyes which are liars, you enter into a throne room with a mighty king. My friend, you're doing better than you think. Are you opening your spiritual eyes? See, prayer gives us access into a realm beyond our circumstances, beyond our fears, beyond the facts that we face, the things that we see. And I know you're probably asking, so how do we open these spiritual eyes? And I'm so glad you asked that question. Again, I'm not here to give you an opinion. I want to take you to God's word. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path." I want you to consider this. His word is a lamp to our feet. So here's the question. What's the purpose of light? What's the point of it? So we can see, so that we can step into the unknown, so that we can discover something that we can't necessarily see with these physical eyes. And I want you to see that the scripture says that his word is a lamp. And this lamp, it gives us light. But here's the thing about this light. Here's what happens when we begin to ingest the word of God. And it begins to impact our hearts and our minds. It begins to transform our lives to such an extent that when we depend on the word, it gives us light in the middle of the situation. But guess what? There's a next situation coming. And as you are full with the word and you take a step, you still have light to see the next step. You still have light to see the wisdom that you require. There's still discernment available. There's still a mighty God present. You can see where you're going. We can turn those lights back on. Thank you, guys. I want you to think about this. God's word brings light into our lives. Well, how does that help us with prayer? On your own time, go ahead and check out Ephesians 6. It tells us that when we pray with the sword of the Spirit. What is that sword? The scripture tells us clearly in the book of Hebrews that the word of God is a double-edged sword that pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrows, and it gives us discernment right there in the heart, in that place where we may lack wisdom. My point with that is this, is that when you and I pray, and we pray with understanding from the word, when we pray with revelation from the word, when we pray with confidence from the word, what we unleash is a sword that cuts down every enemy, that charts a path where there was none, that opens doors and creates opportunities where we have lacked them. God is great. He's working in your life. He has given you his word. Will you lean upon his word? Will you look to it as a light in your life? Stop looking to your social media account. Stop looking to the news. Stop depending on what people tell you. What we need is the word of God. You know what the word of God reveals? Let me just give you one portion of scripture. I believe it's in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says that we have everything that pertains to life and godliness. You know what's interesting in the Greek when it says we have everything that pertains to life and godliness? Here's what it means. We have everything. We have everything we need for life, for daily life. We have everything we need for a relationship with God. It's all there. You've already got it. So how do we access that? The scripture tells us that it's according that we reap that as according to the knowledge of Jesus and his great and precious promises. And watch what that does when you understand the promises of God. Watch what that does when you understand what the truth is and face while you're facing facts. Here's the power in it. The scripture says that we then partake of God's divine nature. His nature. I don't know about you. I don't want the nature of men. I don't want the nature of this world. I want God's divine nature operating in my life and through my life. Come on. You are transformation church. I declare you are a transformed people. You are bringing transformation to this nation. You are a people that sit under leaders that teach you the uncompromised word of God. They are equipping you. They are giving you what you need to open your eyes. Your eyes. The second point that I want to share with you here for reflection and application is this. Is that you and I must let go of what you've seen. You must let go of what you've seen. So you can see the unseen. I'm going to say that again. You must let go of what you've seen so you can see the unseen. Listen, this man was from a place of great unbelief, a place called Bethsaida. What's interesting about it is that when Jesus meets this man, the scripture tells us that he spit in his eyes. He spit. Why would Jesus spit in your eyes when you have a need? I want you to think about this. If I spit in your face, how would you feel? Would you feel disrespected? Sure you would, right? Some of you forget you're Christians and get ready to fight, right? Stop, guys. Calm down. That's not who we are. But think about this. It would be disrespectful. Do you know that in Jewish culture and back in those days, if you spit at someone, what you were literally pronouncing was a curse? Why did Jesus spit in this blind man's eyes? Because Jesus curses spiritual blindness. It is not his will for our lives. And so Jesus spits in this guy's eyes, but then he does something really interesting. He ups the ante. He takes him by the hand and he takes him out of Bethsaida. He takes him out of the place of unbelief. My friends, you and I have had experiences in life. Some of us have been through certain things, right? Some of us have some church hurt. Some of us have some drama that we still hold on to, that we continue to dramatize in our own minds and hearts. Some of us have gone through certain things, or we believe certain things based on our upbringing. And what I am saying to you is that, hey, you haven't been to Bethsaida, and neither have I. You're not from Bethsaida, but we've all been there. Every one of us has been to Bethsaida. Why do I say that? Because we all know what it is to doubt, to disbelieve, to look at circumstances instead of trusting Jesus. You know, James chapter 1, starting at verse 5, gives us some wisdom in this regard. And a shocking reality, too. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. You should pray to God. And he says, and we should pray to God who gives generously to all without finding fault. So get this. When we are not getting answers to prayer, the issue is never God. God's not lacking anything. God's not deficient. God's not powerless. Trust me, your problem is not strong enough to turn off the light bill in heaven. It's not. So the issue isn't God. So then what is the issue? Watch this. And it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe. Oh, and not doubt. Because the one who doubts, watch this, is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Listen to this shocking truth that we should consider. That person, verse 7 says, should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You know what that tells us? We cannot claim to put our trust in Jesus when we pray and still stay in the place of unbelief. We've got to start opening our spiritual eyes to the truth of God's word. You know, a while back, I found myself in a situation that I never thought I would experience in my life. Young, healthy, great family, grandkids, I mean, just full life. Great ministry, God doing great things. And then one day I found myself feeling some back pain. I thought it was no big deal. And that back pain began to develop into a much bigger problem because that back pain was becoming debilitating to me. So much so that I ended up going to the hospital. When I got to the hospital and they began to run some tests, the doctor said to me, "You're not going anywhere." I said, "What do you mean I'm not going anywhere? I have to get home. I got things to do." And he says to me, "You're not going anywhere. You have a double pneumonia." And they began to run all types of tests trying to figure out how this happened, what was going on. And so what they did was they told me, "You're staying here for at least a week." And I'm in the hospital, and they're sticking tubes up my nose to give me oxygen. And would you believe that even with oxygen, I was wrestling to simply breathe. I was struggling. I don't wish that on my worst enemy. The lack of breath, to not be able to breathe, it was scary. And in the midst of that, I found myself going to God and saying, "God, why is this happening? What is going on? What are you doing about this? God, what? How did I get here? God, I'm afraid. God, I'm scared. God, I think that actually, you know, like this thought started to creep in my mind. You could die." And I kept going before the Lord, and on one of those days, I was reminded of a portion of Scripture. Look, even in that darkest time of my life, I found myself surrounded by some life-giving people. I need to tell you, I need to brag on your pastors. Pastor Joe and Pastor Roof, man, they blessed us. They watched over my family. They were sending meals. They were caring for us. They were praying for us. Man, your pastor was sending me text messages, voice memos, all kinds of stuff, just encouraging my heart. And I thank God for people like that because that makes room for a move of God with the word. But in one of those desperate moments, those moments of despair, the Holy Spirit quickened me to a portion of Scripture that has become a life scripture for me. comes out of Job 33:4, and it says this. It says, the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Listen, I began to meditate upon that in the midst of my fears, and the light went on. And I began to realize, God, not only did you make me, but you gave me your breath for life. And so if you gave me your breath, then God, it stands to reason that it is your will that I breathe, and these lungs must open. Let me tell you what happened to me in the midst of that moment. I'm struggling to breathe. I'm gasping for air, and all of a sudden my lungs opened, and I began to breathe. And I began to see the word of God flowing through my lungs and giving me life. The doctors were like, we don't understand what happened, but we'll take it. I said, I can tell you what happened. I have the breath of life. God himself has opened up my lungs. Don't tell me that the word of God can't touch your body. Don't tell me that the word of God can't change your circumstances. But listen, it changes our circumstances when we pray according to the word of God. The last point I want to leave you with today is this. It's that if what you see is what you get, then dare to see more. If what you see is what you get, then dare to see more. Hear where I'm coming from with this. By asking this blind man what he saw while he was still blind, Jesus challenged this man to stretch in the very place where he lacked most. Jesus literally tells this man, open eyes that you can't open, that you struggle to open. He invites this man to stretch past everything that told him he couldn't see, past every diagnosis given by an eye doctor, past every opinion of a person who saw him, past every experience that he'd had because of his blindness. Jesus invites him to stretch beyond there, to open eyes that he has not opened. My friend, today, what we have is more than just a church service. Could it be that what we have today is Almighty God, our living, breathing, all-powerful, mighty God, right here, right now, having an encounter with us and saying, my son, my daughter, my child, you've been setting your eyes on the wrong things. You've been putting more faith in the problem than the God who does the impossible. You've been praying according to the size of your circumstances instead of the size of your God. And my friend, today's not the day to beat yourself up if that's where you've been. Today's not the day to condemn yourself. Why? Because the scripture tells us that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God ain't mad at you. But I will tell you this, if those are the shoes that you've been wearing, now's not the time to wear them. Now's the time to change them. Don't put those babies on no more. God is calling you to a new life, a transformed life, a life where you see clearly and you pray powerfully. And you are a living, breathing revival because you carry it within you, unleashing it to a world that needs light, that needs to see. Hey, that's you. That's you. God Almighty has chosen you. Don't take the name of your church lightly. You are a people walking in transformation, called to transform lives for the kingdom of God. It's time that we take our eyes off of our castles and we begin to set them upon the King and his kingdom. It's time that we begin to push past our fears and our doubts because God is greater than them. Let me tell you how God works. as we close here today. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it gives us proof of this. It says, now to him who? God himself. To him who is able. Go ahead and tell three people that you didn't come with. God is able. Come on, say that with pride. Say that loud. Say that with great faith. God is able. It says, now to him who is able to do, watch this, immeasurably more. God operates in a place called immeasurably more. I do more because I am more than what you see. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Watch this. According to his power that is at work within us. I'll tell you why I share that with you. There's no denying that our God is able to do great things. But the scripture tells us, according to the word of God, that his power is at work in us. And what is that power? God does it according to that power. What is that power? Look at the scripture. It says this, according to the power that is at work in us, and that power is according to how we ask or imagine. When we begin to open our spiritual eyes and see according to the word of God, my friend, you open the door for heaven to come down to earth, for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. Come on now, give God some praise. Come on, kick that door open. Come on, say enough is enough. I may be surrounded, but my enemies are surrounded by him. Come on, it may be difficult, but I have a God who's greater, who does immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine. So dare to see big, dare to ask big, dare to expect heaven to come touch earth. Dare to be a vehicle, a vessel, a channel by which God pours out life. Great results. I want us to take a moment to stand here this morning. And I want you to consider this, my friends, that what we've had here this morning is not a message. What we've had here is not an ordinary church service. What we've had here is not entertainment or a feel-good experience, something to pump us up. No, what we've had here this morning is a divine encounter with God. The word says, the God's word says this, that it is in the hearing of his word that faith comes. It comes by hearing. My friend, you didn't hear me today. You've heard God. And today, this mighty God, our mighty God, invites us to step out, to look past our circumstances, to see with our true eyes, our spiritual eyes. Come on, is there somebody in this house today that says, God, I set my eyes on you. I'm opening my eyes this morning. Come on now. Take this moment to connect beyond what you hear, beyond what you see. Take this moment to lay down those burdens, those things that unsettle you, those things that you keep traumatizing yourself with. Come on now, I'm talking to somebody here today. Those things that stop you, those fears, the giants you see before you. Today is the day, right here, right now in this moment, where everything changes, where transformation happens. Why? Because listen, we don't conform to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And today we've received the life-giving word of God, which is transforming our understanding, which is shedding light and giving us the ability to see it. Today, God, we come before you and we reach. Oh, we stretch, Lord. Oh, we get past our experiences. We get past the circumstances. We get past the diagnosis. Somebody needs this light today in this house or online. Somebody needs to hear this. That diagnosis that you have been given may be a fact, but it is not final. That may be a fact, but it is not the truth. Let me tell you why. Let me shed some light in your heart and in your life. 3 John 2 says this. Beloved, I pray that you be in health and you prosper in all things. Watch this. As your soul prospers. And today the soul has been enlightened by the living word of God. And so I'm telling you right now, don't you accept a diagnosis. Don't you accept a challenge as a defeat. No, you trust in God, because greater is he that is in you, and there is a mighty work working within you that is greater than he that comes against you. Today I pray over you. I declare over you God's word. As the Apostle Paul prayed, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I declare over this house that the eyes of your heart be open. That today you see the power of God towards you. That today fear is no longer your fact. Fear has to die. Because in the presence of love, fear can't work. No, mighty God, today we acknowledge you. I pray and I declare according to the word of God that not only are your eyes open, but that because your eyes are open, you begin to partake of the inheritance that's yours in the saints. You've got what you need. You've got God. I love the way the worship team ended today. I said, nothing else. Nothing else but you, Lord. You're enough. So God, today, we open our eyes. We look forward to revival because we are revived. We are a nation of people called chosen, holy, accepted of the God, by God. This is transformation nation. A people that will transform circumstances, their surroundings. Because you walk with the living God. Hey, maybe there's someone here today in this house. Maybe you're online. Maybe you're catching this video at another time. And today, what you're sitting with, what you're wrestling with as you're hearing this message is, man, I thought I could see. I realize that I've been walking with my physical eyes open, but I've been blind the whole time. And my friend, don't beat yourself up if that's where you are, because here's the reality: that recognition, that revelation, that insight that you now have indicates this, that you have allowed God to shine the light in your life so you can see. He loves you. Loves you so much that he's not willing to leave you there blind in the unknown. No. Instead, he invites you to take a step out. And so today, here's what we need to know as we close. The reason why God so loved the world and gave his son wasn't just for the forgiveness of our sins. That's just the beginning. No, Jesus said that he came to give us an abundant life, a new life. The old is gone, the new has come. It's here. But get this. It took a man to mess it up for all mankind. Another man had to come to make it up, to reconcile it. And guess what? You and I can't do that. Welcome to the club. We all dropped the ball. But guess what? God so loved you and me and the world, each and every one of us, that he said, I've got a better plan. I'm going to become like one of them. I'm going to come in the form of a man to lay my life down, to pay a penalty that wasn't mine to pay, so that they can be forgiven and have a new life. He didn't just rise to prove he's God. He rose to prove and declare that we can rise too. My friend, if you are seeking God, and today you've had an encounter with Jesus, I want you to do something bold in this house and online. I want you to raise your hand to heaven. I want you to reach out. Come on, be proud about it. Nobody's judging you here. Come on. We are declaring our need for God. And I want us all here, whether you know Jesus or not, if you are accepting Christ, then we in the house who are transformers will join together with them and we will support them in this prayer. Let's pray this together. Say, Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I see. You are the Son of God. I believe you love me so much that you died to pay the price for my sin. And you rose again to prove that you are God and to declare that today I can rise too. And so today I confess, I boldly declare, you are my Lord, you are my Savior, you are my God. And from this day forward, I can see a brand new life. Come on now, if you pray that, we're celebrating the goodness of God working in your life. Come on now. Come on, give God some.